And we'll have a discussion about that a little later on in the show, especially when Rafa joins us. But for the first time in a very long time, the first time in the new Major League Soccer season, I'm delighted to say that right now, I think it's all said, ready and set, being joined by Kyle McCarthy to talk all things Major League Soccer.
I'm doing all right. It's been a tough 24 hours or so in the greater Boston area, but we're thinking about football as well.
We're all very glad to hear that you're okay up in the Boston area. I mean, you don't live too far outside of Boston, though. I mean, it's obviously affecting the whole area up there at the moment.
Yeah, it's a hugely disappointing and disheartening situation. I mean, Marathon Monday is a cherished tradition here in the Boston area, and it's heartbreaking to see what unfolded yesterday.
And as we said on the show today, all of our thoughts and prayers going out to anybody and everybody who's been affected by what's happened in Boston, and especially, of course, the city of Boston itself as well, because it's just an absolutely fantastic city with such proud sporting traditions. And obviously, just outside of Boston, the home of the New England Revolution. And Kyle, let's talk about the football. And let's talk about the Revolution just quickly. A disappointing season last year, really, and it's not started so well for them this year. You're very closely associated to the team. What's gone wrong in the early part of this season?
I think there have been positives and negatives. I think the positive you have to look at is that the team's got the best defensive record in the league right now. They've been very solid at the back. But that solidity has come at the expense of being potent going forward. They scored one goal, game in the first game of the season, and they really haven't looked particularly threatening at any point during the campaign. At some point, they're going to have to figure out that balance where they can pose threats to the opposing team without disrupting their solid work at the back. And until they can really get after teams and try and carve out openings, they're going to struggle a little bit.
We've seen, obviously, New England last year didn't have a terrible defensive record, conceded 44 goals, which is kind of about the average for Major League Soccer last season. And we've seen sides maybe like the Columbus Crew, who have good defensive records, make that sacrifice slightly and push on for goals. And obviously, bringing in Higuain last year was a big, important factor for them. Do you think the Revolution need to do that? They need to bring in a big goal-scoring striker who they can rely on, which will give them the ability to maybe push a bit further up the pitch and make a bigger impression in the attacking line?
Well, I think for the rest at this point, they're looking towards the return of Sayer Sen to really give them that impact. He made his first appearance of the season at Seattle on Saturday. He looked lively, and he offered a more direct approach for them, a guy who could really stretch the field vertically. And I think the hope for the Revs right now is that they can lean on him to provide a little bit more of that incisiveness over the next few weeks.
It's a Seattle side that maybe last year, if the Revolution played them, especially towards the end of the season, a 0-0 draw would be fantastic for them. But it's a Seattle side that hasn't started the season too well itself. Ziggy Schmidt saying that there are problems. What are the problems with this Seattle side at the moment? Because Rafa here on the show keeps saying that they're a soft side. I mean, what does that mean? Is that a fair description of Seattle?
I think soft is a fair description at the moment, but I think their problems are really concentrated in the final third right now. They lack quality in the final ball into the penalty area, and they lack quality to finish off the service they do provide. It's difficult for a team to really succeed in MLS when Eddie Johnson isn't available, when Obafemi Martins isn't available. When you don't have those players at the sharp end to really polish off the moves, it becomes very difficult for them to really be productive in front of goal. Steve Schmidt started Lamar Nagel and Steve Zakuani on Saturday. And no disrespect to those two players, but one of them is a winger and another one is probably a reserve striker. So I think that pretty much sums up the challenges ahead of Seattle right now. They've got to get their players healthy, and then they've really got to start being precise inside the penalty area.
And once they get over Fabian Martins back, there's still possibly the time we have to wait for him to adjust to playing in Major League Soccer, because obviously he didn't have time to embed himself. Do you think we're going to see it take a while to see the best out of Ober Fabian in MLS?
I think he's got to get healthy first. That knee issue must clear up. In terms of his adjustment, I'm not sure how long it'll take. I think it's going to depend on the type of service he receives in midfield. Seattle hasn't done particularly well providing a good supply to its front players so far this year. Martins is a quality player. And if he receives the right type of service, he's going to score goals. It's just a matter of making sure those lines are open.
Is there a big positive for Seattle in that bringing in somebody like Martins, he's somebody that will pick up the ball and run with it? We've seen Kokomara do that last season for SKC. But there aren't many players in Major League Soccer that you see pick up a ball in the middle of the midfield and actually start to run at defenders. Is that an intimidating thing for sides that will come up against Ober Fabian this season?
I think so. He certainly has a physical element that tends to unsettle MLS defenses. He's got a little bit of pace, he's got a little bit of directness, and he's really got the ambition to go at teams. And that's important when you're looking at how to attack and how to really pose a threat on a consistent basis. He's a guy with a good goal-scoring record. He comes over from La Liga, where he's been successful with Levante. It's just a matter of getting him healthy and then allowing him to adjust to the situation.
We're seeing a number of the new signings and new players to Major League Soccer starting to get their feet firmly in the U.S. soccer scene. A guy who we saw make his debut on the weekend was Kleberson for the Philadelphia Union. Only played 11 minutes. Some people saying that they've seen enough to show that this guy has a lot of potential to play extremely well at Major League Soccer and be a difference maker for the Union. How much can we get out of that, though, from only seeing 11 minutes of him on Saturday?
I'd like a little more evidence than an 11-minute substitute still before really determining how influential Kleberson will be with the Union. When you look at that move, it's basically a swap deal. The Union exchanged Freddie Adu, a guy who they were not going to use, for Kleberson, a talented figure who has played for Brazil in the past, played in World Cups, and a guy who could potentially add to their team this year. So right now, Philadelphia is already ahead in that calculus, because they've gotten something for a player that they weren't planning to use. Now it's just a matter of seeing of how profitable that exchange will be for them. I don't think we can make that judgment on an 11-minute spell, but Kleberson certainly has the talent to really help the Union going forward this year.
It's a side that struggled last year. They had a great cup run, but obviously in Major League Soccer wasn't ever really in and around the playoff spots, the Union. In such a competitive East Coast, especially where you've got New York, you've got DC, and you've got potentially another New York franchise coming in at some point, we spoke about New York Red Bulls needing to kind of set themselves as a big team on that East Coast. How important is it for Philadelphia to not get left behind, especially with the new franchise coming in as well?
I think it is important for Philadelphia to not get left behind. I think there's a lot of work for them still to do. I don't know whether it's a competition per se with the Red Bulls, with DC United, with a potential second New York franchise, but no MLS club wants to really slip behind in the pecking order, and I think the Union has done a decent job so far this year of grinding out some results, maintaining that competitive streak, and really jockeying for position in what looks to be a pretty competitive Eastern Conference playoff race.
The Western Conference at the moment is almost flipped on its head from last season. Down at the bottom, obviously, Seattle, San Jose. Up at the top, FC Dallas, Chivas USA, and the Portland Timbers. Those top three sides, Dallas, Chivas, and the Timbers, is this a consistent switch, do you think? Are we going to see these three carrying this on, this kind of form throughout the season at the moment?
I think we're going to have to wait and see on that front. FC Dallas has been very impressive so far this season. They haven't necessarily outplayed teams, but they've done a good job of grinding out results, particularly at the end of matches. I think Saturday's 1-0 victory over Los Angeles, courtesy of a late header by George John, is a fair reflection of how, what they've been able to do so far this year. Chivas USA is a total surprise package. No one expected them to find a way to cobble together the results they have so far this year. They obviously struggled against Colorado at home on Saturday, but they've done well so far. But they face three out of the next four on the road, and that'll be a proving ground for them. In terms of Portland, I think they've done well under Caleb Porter so far. There are going to be questions about how they are defensively, you know, for the duration of the campaign, but they have cobbled together a couple of results. They've been good over the past couple of weeks, so that's a positive sign for them. Now, that being said, all three teams are going to face questions about whether they'll be able to sustain the results they've been able to produce. And I think that's natural. It's a long MLS season, and I think a healthy dose of skepticism is warranted. It's just a matter of those teams going forward and trying to disprove the skeptics.
Have we had any reaction to what happened in the aftermath of that FC Dallas goal against LA in the weekend? John was hit by what I could tell from the pictures that I saw looked like a beer bottle of some sort or a drinks container. Has there been any fallout from that at all, Carl?
You know, there has been some discussion about it. I would imagine that, you know, beer bottles will be perhaps eliminated in that section of the field after what unfolded. And John, to his credit, has handled the situation with class. He has basically implored the fans to celebrate with him, not by throwing beer bottles at him. We did have a photo of the of you know what happened to the back of his head after the incident. So I think it's something where you'll see more on the situation over the next couple of days.
It's obviously quite an important thing to reiterate. Don't celebrate by throwing something at me, I think, and something that every MLS player can get behind on that. Saw a fair bit of physicality in that San Jose-Portland game on the weekend. It was quite a battle in terms of being very physical. We saw, obviously, Alan Gordon getting sent off. Gordon seemed to be protesting on the weekend. Did they have anything to protest about at all for those seeing two yellow cards and obviously seeing red after that elbow on Silvestre?
No, his protests were not completely valid at that point. I think the Aaron elbow was a deserved second yellow card. I thought that he deserved to march. And then you also have the unseemly incident with the epithet he directed towards Will Johnson a bit earlier. That was captured by the cameras. And I would expect some remedial action from the MLS Disciplinary Committee for that unfortunate choice of words over the next couple of days as well. I think Mr. Gordon will probably have the next four games or so to reflect on his actions at Chelsea Glenn Field.
It's something we've obviously seen about players hurling abuse at each other on the pitch, and so much is made of in Europe about the respect campaigns of the FA and UEFA and stuff. Do we see the similar sort of, obviously there's the FIFA Fair Play campaign that we always see. What about respect campaigns in Major League Soccer? Because it's not something, this sort of behaviour, that I can recall ever really seeing much of this getting blown up into the press, this sort of behaviour on the pitch.
Yeah, MLS takes the sort of stuff very seriously. You can see that by the discipline they've meted out in the cases that have cropped up over the past couple of years. You can see it in the campaign they have called Don't Cross the Line, talking about treating people with respect and not indulging in that sort of behavior. And it's one of those situations that is particularly unfortunate. And MLS will deal with it swiftly because it's something they simply won't tolerate.
We saw the controversy around the U.S. men's national team leading into the last two World Cup qualifiers against Costa Rica and against Mexico. And some of the players came out and said that this sort of hype in the press, the leaked quotes, etc., was good because it almost showed that U.S. soccer was becoming as big a kind of media circus as it is in Europe. Similarly, with this sort of behaviour, it completely uncondonable what Gordon said on the pitch, but at the same time, does it show that the game is getting bigger, more important, more passionate? Is there, without saying there's a positivity to it, but is it indicating that Major League Soccer is becoming like more and more important and passionate to players and fans and in general the media in the sport as well?
Yeah, I don't particularly agree with that take. I think it's a situation that reflects poorly on the league, honestly, because this is the sort of situation that gets picked up by the mainstream media, gets picked up by prominent websites like Deadspin, and gets really turned against the league. And I don't think there are a whole lot of positives that come out of it. I don't think it's something where you get substantive coverage in the wake of such disturbing incidents. I think it's something that, on the whole, does not benefit the league.
And we, of course, here at World Football Daily, completely deplore the choice of words used by Alan Gordon. Don't really want to repeat it on the show because it's as you say, Carl, we don't want to see it in Major League Soccer. Just quickly before we go, we've got the game between New York and SKC coming up this week. New York with a big show, especially having Thierry Henry back on the weekend. How much does this Red Bull team, though, are they relying on Thierry Henry at this moment in time, do you think?
I think anytime you have Thierry Henry on the side, you're going to rely on him. And I think they have over the past couple of weeks. I thought it was an important win for them at the weekend to go down to D.C. and post that victory. Now they've really got to build on it. It's a difficult task against Sporting in midweek. Sporting didn't play at the weekend. They've had a couple of extra days off. And Peter Vermes' side will want to come out and impress at Red Bull Arena, knowing that they have to go to the Home Depot Center to play Los Angeles on Saturday. So a lot at stake for both sides. It'll be an intriguing affair.
How much do SKC want to have Kay Kamara come back from his spell at Norwich? And how likely do you think it is that he's going to end up staying with the Canaries?
I think it's an important decision for Kamara and for Sporting. They've agreed terms per the loan agreement. It's just a matter of figuring out whether Norwich wants to exercise that option at the end of the year. And I think Norwich will think about it strongly once they secure their Premier League future. I can't imagine that he will be returning to Sporting at the moment. I think he's done well enough at Norwich to earn a permanent move. And I think Sporting understood that was a possibility when they decided to loan him to the Premier League. And that would be a disappointing blow for them. I think he adds some physicality to them up front. His physical attributes really help the side. And I think they'll miss him if he does not return.
Would it be preferable for them to know sooner rather than later so they can start maybe arranging a full-time replacement for him, bringing a player of equal quality at least, because it is a big loss to that SKC side?
Yeah, Peter Vermes actually talked about that recently, how he was hoping that Norwich would be able to sort out their thoughts in the matter sooner rather than later so they could plan for those eventualities. But it's certainly a situation where Norwich has to sort out its own future first and then really start to grapple with those sorts of questions.
Kyle, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the WFD airwaves today, man. And especially with everything that's going on, it's a pleasure to just know that you and everybody in that area where you are is all safe and sound. And we're so glad here at WFD that you haven't been affected too much by what's happened in Boston. And it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks for all the good wishes from the WFD listeners to everyone in the Boston area over the past 24 hours or so.
Hey, it's the least we can do, my man. Thanks so much for joining us. Take care, Carl, and we'll get you back on the show as soon as possible as the Major League Soccer continues, mate.
Cheers. Have a good one.
You too. Carl McCarthy there joining us on World Football Daily to talk all things Major League Soccer. And everybody here at WFD, extremely pleased to hear that Carl is safe and sound up there in just outside Boston where he lives and works. But of course, as we said earlier, all of our thoughts and prayers going out to the people of Boston as we were talking there a little bit of Major League Soccer, talking about the game coming up this week, New York taking on SKC. And Kay Kamara, one goal in eight appearances at Norwich, but has put in some stellar performances, I have to say, and really kind of went under the radar when he joined the Canaries in